It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
And I'm Marcy Silman.
And today we're celebrating International Clash Day.
Woohoo!
Listening to Clash throughout the show.
Love it, love it, love it. But first we'll get serious, David. Some context on a story that got national attention last week. That's when Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, wrote a plan about she has to remake the post office to offer banking services to people who can't afford to have bank accounts. Here in Washington state, about 1 in 5 households is considered unbanked or underbanked. That means they don't have traditional checking or savings accounts, so they rely on things like money orders, check cashing, payday loans, even pawn shops. Michael Barr says a lot of low and middle income families have a hard time making the American financial system work for them. He's a professor of law at the University of Michigan. He also served as an officer at the U.S. Treasury Department. Barr is the author of a book called No Slack, The Financial Lives of Low Income Americans.
A lot of low and moderate income families can't even get access to basic banking services. The financial services sector often leaves people behind. There are high fees charges or hidden fees and traps that get them into trouble. So when people talk about unbanked and underbanked people, they mean basically the financial services system is set up in a way that doesn't really meet the needs of most average Americans.
When you say not being able to access banking services, is that because there are no banks where they live or because they don't have enough income to qualify for certain kinds of accounts?
For many households, the basic issue is that the basic account, a transaction account, a checking account, is too expensive because it has high minimum balances or high fees in the event that you bounce a check. It's difficult for families who are living paycheck to paycheck. And so what is really needed for those kinds of families are lower cost alternatives, electronically based accounts without overdraft, where you only have a debit card, not access to check writing privileges, but you have the protection of not having bounced check fees or high minimum balances.
So I'm getting the impression that it is mostly low-income families that are affected by this?
Well, there are all kinds of problems in the financial sector, many of which affect middle-income families as much as low-income families. The problems that we had, for example, in the lead-up to the financial crisis with mortgages that had exploding terms or complicated features were often offered to middle-income families, not low-income families. And certainly anybody who's ever had a credit card knows that the experience with credit card companies can be frustrating and complex. And that's really what led to the kinds of reforms that we put in place in Dodd-Frank with the creation of a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the passage of the Credit Card Act that are designed to reform consumer protections in a way that helps middle-income families and low-income families.
The U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General has just proposed the idea of post offices offering banking services, which might be an alternative to traditional banks. What do you think of that idea?
I think that there's some promise in looking at post offices as part of the way which we can expand access to financial services for families. I think there are ways that the Postal Service could form partnerships with private institutions and private vendors to expand access to products. There's a program in the Treasury Department for Social Security recipients, for example, that helps unbanked Social Security recipients get access to their check in a cheaper way through a card called Direct Express, which is a debit card that they can use to receive their Social Security benefits and to make payments and the like. So I think there's a lots of ways that the federal government, including the post office, can expand access while keeping buttoned down in terms of potential risk to the system.
I'm talking with Michael Barr. He's a law professor at the University of Michigan. And Michael, I understand that the Postal Service has offered banking services in the past and does still involve itself in doing things like cashier's checks, right?
They're a big provider of paper money orders. So there has been that continuing tradition. And earlier in our country's history, the post office was involved in various kinds of postal savings plans. So it wouldn't be a dramatic departure from that history for them to do a bit more in the provision of basic banking services. Again, I think the key thing is not for the post office to think of itself as a financial services company, which it's not, but the ways in which the Postal Service's strengths, its branch network, and its trusted employees could partner with other financial services providers to expand the footprint for the delivery of these kinds of products and services.
So we're talking about providing an alternative to the current banking system or the lack of a banking system, but there are also controls that, at least here in Washington State, we're seeing put on the sort of extra banking systems that low-income or unbanked people tend to rely on. Washington State has had some success controlling the payday loan industry by limiting the number of loans. Our state legislature is considering a bill that would require loan providers to be licensed and to limit interest rates. Is that enough to really help this situation?
Well, I think we need really a three-legged stool. I think we need financial education so that people are positioned to take advantage of good opportunities. I think we need to improve financial access through innovation in new products and services like longer-term installment loans instead of payday loans. And I think we need to improve financial protection. You can't only rely on financial access or only financial education or only consumer protection. We need to have a coordinated strategy.
Do you have any sense of what the sentiment in Congress is on this?
I think there's historically been hesitancy by Congress of getting the government involved in a variety of ways in financial services, and the current political environment is not great for compromise on anything. So it may be that progress can be done in smaller ways through pilot initiatives at the Postal Service, and I think there's more the government could do at tax time to make it easier for low and moderate income families to receive their tax payments in a way that doesn't have to require them to go to an expensive check cash or take out an expensive refund anticipation loan. So there's a lot of progress that can be made even without Congress stepping in, and that could lay the groundwork for fuller work in the years ahead.
Michael Barr is a professor of law at the University of Michigan. He's the author of No Slack, The Financial Lives of Low-Income Americans. This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.